from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
Oh, I win. Google me.
We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger down here.
Oh, man, there are some doings in Colorado. It is every day. It is every day there's a new story about the Colorado Buffaloes program.
Grand Theft Colorado.
Grand Theft Colorado and Warren Sapp, one of the assistant coaches. I do believe he rebuffed us with great prejudice at the Super Bowl one year, Sean.
Yes. So I think of him as a bad guy. Do you know anything about him from NFL Network days, if you're allowed to say anything?
I know if you you wouldn't have been rebuffed if you approached him wearing high heels and a short skirt or something, probably. Whoa. I mean, depending on your price.
So he's an assistant, and what was the accusation in that Athlon Sports article about the Grand Theft Auto culture and the gun culture?
Guns around the locker room, money flying everywhere. It's they were comparing it to, it's like playing football in a Grand Theft Auto video game.
So, and look, this doesn't mean anything, but it's kind of a read the room state moment here. Here is Warren Sapp talking to the media about some of his players on the defensive side.
Who in your room specifically, individually, has stood out the most to you?
I wouldn't single out one guy because we're a pack. You know, my five ends on a 2-lane highway. That's just nice and good. And then with the last two tackles with Buell and the young fella, we'll be 6 deep. You know, because Shane and Big Boy, 90 Deuce, Barnes, and then we got Kadoji in there, and then working with Buell, and then one more. Who am I forgetting? TC and the other kid. Yeah, I mean, we just mixing and matching them. We got bullets. You get shot with a 38 or a 9mm, you pick it.
Look, again, not a big deal. It's not a big deal. It's just like you can't. If they had a PR team there, if they even had one,
it's Dion.
Yeah, Dion's their PR team. Like, that PR team is not thrilled. Yeah, it's like, we just had this article about a gun culture, and here you are coming up saying, I mean, you want to get with a 9 or a 38? Like, which one do you want? Like, you get the pick, man. You get the pick.
Yeah, Warren Sapp has never been the like he's never been the safest individual in front of a microphone.
Yes.
I mean, you can take all of his issues off the field, you take him on the field, like where he gets into that big argument with Mike Sherman, the whole put a jersey on, you're so tough. And so, I mean, Sapp is just a loudmouth, and this sounds about on brand for him.
And we found out who voted Colorado, the lone wolf, the lone voter.
Yeah, and it's very disappointing to me. I really hate whenever somebody is associated with a vote like this, and I can go, oh, I remember them from being in the DFW Metroplex and working here. And that was Mike Hill. Remember Mike Hill?
The SportsCenter.
Real Housewives of Atlanta.
He is, absolutely. Mike Hill went on to SportsCenter after...
My wife told me that.
He was... Yeah, they're divorced now. They've been divorced the last couple of years, probably because he voted for Colorado. And
they
she was like,
got divorced?
Yeah, they were married from like 2020 to 2022, something like that. But Mike Hill was on NBC 5 from 02 to 04 and went on to SportsCenter, and he is the one. He has been identified as the one who voted, gave an AP vote to the Colorado Buffaloes, and I hate finding out. Even if they're not presently here in DFW, I hate when I see stories like this and realize, oh, I know them from work they did here in DFW, but to be fair, like, whenever I speak, people probably feel the same way.
Just
check Reddit.
You can't do that. Like, that's just not understanding. They were picked 11th in the Big 12 this year. They're a bad team.
It could be he was just playing or he saw the college football rankings from the video game, and he was like, oh yeah, Colorado's in the top 25.
You guys have to answer it. Are you rooting for or against the Buffaloes?
Oh, I'm rooting for them because the story's good. It's a good story. Like, I want to see, like, I hate them. Like, I don't like Colorado being good. I don't know. It just doesn't sit well with me. But I'm entertained by Deion. I want Deion
in the news
to do well. Yeah, absolutely. I want Deion to do well. I think Deion, there's a lot of issues with him. I also do think that he is good for some of these kids, too. I think he's a good father figure for some of these
Travis
kids.
Yeah, Travis Hunter and Shador.
Yes,
right. Some of them.
Just some of them.
The first round picks.
Yeah. No, but that, I mean, yeah, I'm rooting for them to be interesting. Yeah, that makes it all. If they start out 5-0, Deion, Shador, Travis Hunter, they're all going to be loud, and they're all going to be talking things up, and we're going to have more storylines, and that's going to be entertaining. So, yeah, I want them to succeed.
All right, so we mentioned the video game a second ago. This is Kalen DeBoer, Bama new head coach, on with Golic and Golic on their podcast about the new college football video game. This is awesome and scary all at the same time.
I'm wondering how much of the NCAA video game talk that you hear amongst the players, speaking of working and competing.
You know, we had some plays we've run, and some of them, you know, they know the read progression, and you're like wondering how they know that. And so I guess there is an element to where it's a positive too, right? Things that they do away from the facility. Especially in the end of the summer when it first came out, I know they were all in. I'm sure there's a lot more being played than what I realize even at this point too.
So I was like, all right, these players do the reprogressions basically before it was installed. From the video game.
How can they get it this right?
He's making it up. That's Kalen.
He kind of has to, right? Because there's no way, because this game came out July 19th. There's no way they installed their offense 2 weeks ago.
And Fergie Ferg told us out in training camp, that's part of the reason he got annoyed with the game. Was because he's like, They're not even doing what they're supposed to do in the game. It's not the natural progression.
Yeah, but are they not? They're not doing it scheme wise or like player reaction wise. Are the routes
right? Because Ferg said they were covering in a cover two in a place they shouldn't be covering.
Oh, look, and I mean you can learn the very basics of like offensive and defensive schemes from playing Madden or whatever else. I don't doubt that, but man, that's stuff that. They should have already had an awareness for. I'll say this, even if this is true, I don't think it's nearly as bad as Ryan Day having players play the college game to get to know their opponents, like using it as a scouting tool, like go play the NCAA video game like he had them do.
Would you not, if you're a defensive player, if you're playing up against, you know, Florida this weekend, would you not play the game as Florida? If you're a defensive player, you play the game as Florida and play quarterback? And try to figure out their offense?
No, because it's a video game. I would watch film is what I would
do. too.
Because think about, how would they get the playbook?
That's a great question. I don't know.
How would they get the playbook down this much? So the EA people, I'm trusting to be PFF now and watch film and tape and just copycat everything exact, and they've nailed it. It's hard for me to believe.
The same EA people that had Missouri outside the top 25.
It's probably something like, oh my gosh, you're like, they have this route concept down.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, like we always hear, everyone basically runs the same plays.
It's a literal route tree. 9 routes. That's what people run. They run 9 routes in the NFL.
They got this 9 route down exact.
Yeah.
Like they're running straight vertically down the field, just like our go route.
Exactly. It's so impressive. they figured out all these different combinations. To be fair, a school like Baylor during the Art Briles era, they only ran 2 routes out of the 9. And so.
College football kegger here on 105.3 The Fan. Is there some panic here from these two with a possible crisis in the Longhorn backfield?
Nope. Full French Montana. Don't panic. Don't panic. That's where we're at. There was an injury, another injury yesterday. We've lost a second running back for the season. Christian Clark, the freshman, went down with a torn Achilles yesterday. And this is after the CJ Baxter injury. So things are thinning out a little bit. But, I mean, Christian Clark was at the very back end of the depth chart. A freshman, a guy who was, out of their two freshman running backs they have in the room this year, was not nearly the recruit that Jarrett Gibson was. So, I mean, yeah, they're thinning out in terms of depth. That's a little bit of a concern right now. But, look, we're going to be fine. Still got Jaden Blue. Still got Jarrett Gibson. Still set up to run the SEC to show them who's boss. And we're not concerned yet. But, you got your work cut out for you, Tashard Choice.
Are you worried, Pepe?
Starting to get worried. You know, you lose your starter, then you lose your backup, and it's like, what's next? You know, is Quinn Ewers going to go down, or Isaiah Bond receiver, something like that? So it's like, just keep the starters off the field.
Yeah, he'll be the Cowboys' backfield soon.
He'll be throwing on that Texas Tech polo in 2 weeks, probably.
Oh, Peyton?
Yeah.
Jim Harbaugh. He was set to be the honorary captain.
Speaking of Texas Tech for a second, noted that Peyton's girlfriend, Too Good for the Fan event, on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
Just wanted to note that.
Oh, she had plans. You know, she was already doing her thing.
What was she doing?
She was going shopping with her mom. And when it's family time, I'm not.
Yeah, you can never get that
middle.
Back.
Yeah, you can't shop with your mom on another day.
She can't just go down the street and be like, "Hey, let's
well,
go to the."
Well, it's also an hour drive from Rockwall to Arlington, so you know, it's a little different, you know. But
her mom lives in Arlington.
No. Fan Bowl was in Arlington. We live in Rockwall.
Oh,
you do. Yeah. You do live in Rockwall. So Jim Harbaugh was set to be the honorary captain for
That's
their
weaker and weaker excuses from this guy over here. You know what happens when Kristen tells me she's not going to an event? I say, the hell you're not. You're going. And then she says, yes, daddy. And she goes.
Jim Harbaugh was set to be the captain for Michigan's opener on August 31st. This would have been one of the biggest middle fingers to the NCAA there could have possibly been after he was just given a show cause penalty, a four-year show cause penalty, which is the most toothless punishment ever, considering, I don't know, he doesn't work in the NCAA anymore. So he was going to do this, and they have decided to walk this back, and he is now not going to be the honorary captain.
Who got banned in the NFL, or who got punished in the NFL from college?
Was it Zeke?
Zeke.
What was the punishment again?
Terrell Pryor? Did he do?
I'm trying to remember. Like, I mean, I know it's happened before where we've had play. I'm not remembering off the top of my head. I don't know if Zeke's was technically at Ohio State or not, though. Like, I think he may have had a...
I'm just saying, what was the precedent for that? Because if there is precedent, which I hate that, by the way, but if there is precedent, Harbaugh should have to sit out the first two Charger games.
Should.
I mean, there's no precedent, I don't believe, from a coaching standpoint. You can maybe have precedent for the players, but, I mean, that's always a different application.
There should be no difference.
Right. Unless when Jim Tressel got fired, he went to the NFL in an advisory or assistant role, and they honored it there. Maybe they did. I don't remember. But, yeah, there's no, that I can remember off the top of my head, any clear-cut one. But he's not going to go back to Michigan. And Sharon Moore is the new coach there. He says he can't wait for his deleted texts with Connor Stallions to get released.
Ooh.
To which I'm like, why can you not wait? Like, what kind of coded language did you use that you would not be able to decipher to clear your name? Because if those things get released and it's like, unless he's saying it will vindicate Jim, well, what is it going to do for you, dude? What's it going to do for you?
Yeah.
I respect it. Look, I was there were two things. I had two different feelings about Michigan yesterday. Very disappointed that I thought they were going to be all-time trolls and continue to be defiant. Yeah. And then Jim Harbaugh's in the bunker, whatever the quote was.
He's in
the foxhole with the Chargers. Very disappointed by that. But then on the other end, I love the Sharon Moore energy. Of like, pull up the text messages. Can't wait. I want to
Bobby Kristen energy.
It's exactly. He's treating these text messages like I treat a makeup compact between the front console and the passenger seat.
They should absolutely say, okay, you know what? If Harbaugh's not going to be the captain, here's Connor Stallions. We'll let you be the honorary captain for this one.
Yeah. When is the Stallions thing coming out? I've been waiting for this.
The doc, I don't know. I know they're doing it. I've seen some clips of it. He's a psycho, man.
Is he?
Oh, he went and did, like, he went and found every possible hand signal, and he went and put his 2 weeks. He went and did a camera with a white backdrop, and he filmed himself doing thousands of hand signs, and he memorized them. And, like, this hand sign goes with this play.
It's crazy.
On the one clip I saw.
Yeah, that's the kind of crap your NIL money can't buy, you losers, and the rest of college football. Be better.
College Football Kegger with Ralph James Choppy, Bobby Roberto Belt. I'm Sean Shreve here on 105.3 The Fan. Your home of the Rangers and Cowboys, the most sickening. I think it's my most sickening Dallas Cowboys stat that we have to read and hear about every single year. And Choppy says, stop freaking out so much about the Cowboys offseason. The commercial-free expressway and chopping it up is next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the audio.
It's a hump day edition.
Hump day.
Hump day. On Sean, RJ, and Bobby. We are commercial free up until 8 o'clock here on your home of the Rangers and Cowboys. Sean Shreve, RJ Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. We got Peyton running things live on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Shout out to Kid Cowboys, Solo, Brent, David, Gregory as well. And I've avoided this for the last 2 or 3 years. Kevin Gray sent it to me, went all over the internet. So I was like, screw it. We'll acknowledge it here for just a second. I can't stand this story. It brings zero value to me or anyone else that likes the Dallas Cowboys or follows them. As Sportico released the news that the Cowboys are now valued at $10.32 billion.
So that's improvement.
It is improvement. The most valuable sports franchise in the world and the first ever to crack 10 billy, according to the evaluation. I mean, who cares? Who cares besides the Joneses? No one cares. I guess you can use it as a Cowboy fan to brag that you're still America's team and you still have that value and all that. But all this does is piss off Cowboy fans because they believe this is Jerry's Super Bowl.
Let's say they've won 2 Super Bowls in the last decade. Is that $10.32 billion number any different? Do you think? Like, do you think it has?
Of course.
So you think it could be even higher? Because I think their branding is so above anything related to results that it's just, this is the brand, and that's why I think it's so valuable. Is that I don't know that winning even boosts it anymore, because it just is the brand of the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, I think it boosts it more, in my opinion. In September, Forbes valued the Cowboys at $9 billion. Have you seen the rest of the list? Don't look.
Yes. No, I did not. I think I saw who second place was.
I just saw the very back end of the list.
Second place?
Rams.
Would you have guessed that?
No.
LA, I would have guessed the Giants probably were, just because of market and what? Prestige.
So Jerry essentially is the owner of the two most valuable franchises in sports. Because he is responsible for the Rams in L.A.
Rams, $7.79 billion, followed by the Giants, $7.65. Then?
The Patriots.
Giants, you said...
Patriots, $7.3. Oh, wow. I'm surprised that it's still up there.
The
New England Patriots, before Tom Brady, when we were growing up...
Nothing.
They were the Tampa Bay Buccaneers of the AFC.
They absolutely were.
A horrid, horrid joke.
What they do have, though, and this is the same thing Denver has, is they are one of the only teams that has an entire region of the country. Right? They control all of the New England. Like, Denver controls basically all the mountain time zone. And New England controls all, and you know, Seattle too, right? All the Pacific Northwest, the Seahawks.
Well, that's what I mean in terms of, do results matter totally? Because, like we say, the Giants being high on this list, they haven't done anything recently. The Patriots have struggled a lot. That doesn't seem to have dinged their value. Like, I think it matters in establishing, getting you up to that point, but it feels like once you get to a certain point, like, that's your value. That's your branding at that point.
And then, number five on the list is San Francisco. So the Eagles, 6.75. The Commanders, 6.3, are listed 8th and 10th.
And to be clear, that's not an NFL list that you're reading off of. That is the most valuable sports franchise. It's just heavy NFL at the top.
The 32 NFL teams collectively are worth $190 billion, including team-related businesses and real estate held by the owners. So I don't know why they say the franchises are worth $190 billion when we're throwing their real estate into it.
Yeah, because at that point, I don't know, it's like a net worth, like you don't separate from the owner, I guess is what it would be.
Yeah.
So anyway, there's your list that we all roll our eyes at every single year, at least I do.
Where were the Indiana Fever on this list? How much?
No, this is just football.
No, it's not. It's all sports in North America.
But the Dallas Wings have moved up the list.
The Dallas Wings have. The Dallas Wings are now the most valuable franchise in the WNBA. They have been valued at $209 million after an investment. Two investors had purchased half a share of the Dallas Wings. And so because of the price they paid, their valuation is now projected out at $209 million, which...
That's number one in the league?
That's number one in the league.
How? How are the Wings the most valuable franchise?
That's a great question.
How's it not Vegas? How's it not LA? How's it not the Fever?
The Fever. I know. Like Caitlin that? Clark, you would think, would make a difference there. In fact, this list of all sports, very last on this list, 153rd was CF Montreal in soccer. That is the least valuable franchise, 153rd at $440 million.
So where was
double the most valuable WNBA team?
Where were the Warriors and Dodgers and Yankees?
Let's see. The Warriors were second overall. They were $8.28 billion.
Whoa.
Let's see. Where were the Yankees on this list? The Yankees were third, $7.93.
Okay, so this wasn't just an NFL list.
No, NFL had, out of the top 26, they had all but like five.
Right. And they would have, so it would be the Warriors, Yankees, Dodgers, and probably Knicks.
I wonder where the Texas Rangers are on this list.
All right, where
$2.3 billion.
Why are we freaking out? Why are we overreacting to the Cowboys offseason?
We're overreacting to the Cowboys offseason because we're too worried about all the other players on the team. And we should just be worried about who the quarterback is.
The unsigned one.
That's exactly what we're worried about. It's what we've talked about all offseason.
Right. Well, in terms of this year, in terms of what they're gonna do this year.
And the quarterback without his receiver.
Right, but that doesn't matter because he's paid $60 million to find CeeDee Lamb. Their odds to make the playoffs this year, what percent would their odds would you put on their chances of making the postseason?
45%.
65 or 70%.
Okay. So would you be surprised that it was 78% on ESPN's FPI, which is their football power index, which is like a predictive model? That wouldn't surprise me at all, right?
No.
The other teams, like, you know, for example, Kansas City is 87%. That is accounting for basically Patrick Mahomes' injury. San Fran, 86. Baltimore, 79, rounding up. Detroit, 81. Green Bay, 65. Buffalo, 70. Houston, 65%. The Cowboys, 78%. Philadelphia, 79%. That surprised me a little bit. Miami, 60%. You know, Rams, 47%. You know, if you, I think we went into this off season, and as we've gone through it, all the dejection of, oh, they didn't sign this guy, they didn't sign that guy. They lost 48 players off their defense. It was a gut punch. It was really a gut punch. But as we get closer to the start of the season, it's like, all right, you know what? They're still going to make the postseason. Barring a major injury to the quarterback, they're still going to make the playoffs.
And
history shows us that in the NFC, it is such a wide open crapshoot. Nobody goes back to the Super Bowl in the NFC.
And
nobody.
And everybody knows and recognizes that, and that's why fans were so pissed off this offseason, is that you did nothing and you still have a 78% chance to make the playoffs because it's that vulnerable. That's the position you're in. You did nothing to take advantage of that vulnerability this offseason.
But I you're right, but let me ask you this. The key competitor in the division, or in the conference, San Fran, is willfully going to move on from their number one wide receiver.
Arguably.
Yeah. Arguably.
Mm-hmm.
And in their place will be, in his place, will be a really amazing pocket knife that is getting quite injured, right? And a relative unknown.
Well, they have Kittle, McCaffrey, and Debo.
They do it. Well, we have Jake Ferguson.
Kittle, McCaffrey, Debo, and then a first-round pick at receiver.
And they can lose.
Yeah, they do, but we don't know. We have no idea what he's going to be.
And they can lose Ayuk. They're that much better than we are. The San Francisco 49ers are 14 points better than the Cowboys.
I mean, they wouldn't be favored by 14.
They wouldn't be favored by 14.
They'd be favored by what, 6.5?
They beat them by 10.
Let's forget Vegas for a sec. Would you pick, if you were just saying no Vegas odds, no betting on anything, would you pick San Francisco by fewer than 14 points right now if they were playing?
I mean, I would not. I would probably pick it by 9 or 10. Yeah, but I would definitely pick them.
If I gave you 9.5, you'd take San Fran.
Probably.
Yeah. They're that much better.
They're absolutely better team.
I think we're talking about two different goals here. I think we're talking about two different mindsets. Your mindset and what you're quoting from a lot of these numbers is, hey, it's just a crapshoot. Just get in. The other mindset is, man, do something to try to definitely be better than Detroit and Green Bay, and Philadelphia, which people are severely doubting right now.
They're doubting, no doubt.
The opportunity that they have blown, that they have screwed up, since I've covered this team in this division and now in the conference for 15 years is a joke. Like, it is, they had such an opportunity. So, My mindset is not just, okay, get in, when I know San Fran's better. There are people who believe Detroit is better. People are wondering if Green Bay is definitely better. Versus like, all right, like try to do something to be better than those others and maybe just behind San Francisco.
They could have done something to be better than Detroit and be better than Green Bay. There's nobody and there's no nothing they could have done this offseason to be better than San Francisco. Nothing. There's no player, nothing that they could have done to be better than San Francisco. Their only hope is get in, have a good day on their bad day.
Yeah.
That's the formula to beat San Fran if you're the Cowboys. You don't have another formula. They could have signed in the offseason Myles Garrett and Jaire Alexander or whoever, and they still would not have been better than San Francisco. They also could have added Tyreek Hill in the offseason, and they would not have been better than San Francisco. There's nothing they could have done. The only
that mean that you don't improve?
No, it doesn't mean you don't improve. What I'm saying is that your formula is still the same. You need to have a good day on their bad day.
I thought you... Are you citing this Barnwell stuff right now?
No. This is
my... No, but the segment.
Yes.
Okay.
So, but that's the point of that. Like, they're still going to go back to the postseason.
But they're in the spot the Mavericks were in the entire 2000s, where they reached a point where everybody said, I don't give a damn that you're winning 50 games every year. Like, you're losing in the second round of the Spurs every year.
Yeah.
Or you're losing to the Kings. Like, I don't care anymore.
But what did it take? I mean, for them to finally win the title in 2011, they had to carve a path to where the Spurs got knocked out. Was it either Memphis or OKC that knocked them out? And then they had to go through their nemesis. The same thing needs to happen. You got to avoid San Fran.
That feels like revisionist history to me. To treat it as
they needed to have Chicago lose to Miami because they matched up better with Miami than they did the Bulls.
Nobody was asking for Miami over Chicago at the time. Somebody
who worked for the Mavericks that year was me, because I watched every damn game that year, and I absolutely preferred Miami over Chicago.
Regardless, just a comparison to say, people got tired of it with the Mavericks. People are tired of it now with the Cowboys, where it's like, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't move the needle. It's you're just doing enough to stay. When is the last time we feel like they made a championship move? Because like an Amari Cooper trade does not count. An Amari Cooper trade is salvage your season.
Right.
When was the last time they said, we're in contention right now and we're going for it. We're going to be the Patriots and going and signing Darrell Revis.
This is radio suicide to say this, but I'm just going to be honest as we try to be. I'm looking forward to my Mike Bassick moment in this season where I say, all right, they got me. They flipped me. I believe. Because right now, today, my mindset for the regular season is I don't care. Whatever. They can beat Cleveland by 14 in the opener, and I won't care until it's the second round playoff game and they go to the NFC Championship. That is my mindset right now. I look forward to the emotional roller coaster of the NFL season to make me flip and take this statement back on August 14th at 7:35 in the morning. Because that's what always happens to Bassick, although he may have been Cowboy dead inside for the last year or two. That's the way I feel about it. Mail-in regular season, wake me up after the second round win. Otherwise, I don't care. Otherwise, I'm rooting for implosion.
Oh, implosion would be, I mean, that'd be one obvious avenue to go down because, I mean, let's be fair. If Dak Prescott's better than Brock Purdy, the Cowboys win the game. He was not better than Jordan Love. That's why they lost the game.
That was an all-around. I'll never let anyone put one direction of blame for that Packer game. Dan Quinn, that's on his head, and that defense sucked, too. Everyone sucked.
Absolutely.
Everyone sucked.
It absolutely was a team effort. Jordan Love played a tremendous game.
Yeah.
Tremendous game. Blaming the Cowboys defense is taking away the credit from Jordan Love. Jordan Love was the reason they won that game.
Okay, well, I mean, he was throwing to 30-yard wide open receivers, yeah, too.
The guy, like, could...
He was making great throws off his back foot on 3rd and 17.
All right.
Like, he was making tremendous plays.
Are we getting to Bill Barnwell?
We are. This is it. We're doing it. It's about the quarterback. And they have the Cowboys as the eighth most likely team to return. And he puts it there because he doesn't think that they're as good as the numbers would suggest.
The eighth most likely team to return to the playoffs.
The return to the playoffs.
That doesn't seem very high.
It does not, because he's going against, because they have 78% chance of returning. Houston's ahead of them with a 65% chance. Buffalo's ahead of them with a 70. Green Bay's ahead of them with a 65. The only teams that have a greater chance of returning to the postseason are Detroit, Baltimore, San Fran, and Kansas City.
So let me
from
ask
a numbers perspective.
Let me ask you this question. When you go on the radio in other markets and they have you on RJ Choppy, the fan in D.C.
Oh, so the VSIN yesterday.
Wow. Lombardi?
Patrick Maher.
Oh,
Stassi's guy.
Bravo. Bravo Leopard.
Yeah, my Bravo Leopard.
When you go on there, do you tell them Do you make fun of the Cowboys and crush their offseason, or do you tell the hosts and that listening audience, hey, a total overreaction meltdown in Dallas? Everyone's whining and crying. They're going to be just fine. Which tone do you take?
I mean, I do criticize the offseason. I think the offseason was a disaster, but okay. I also do say this is still a playoff team.
Okay, so
yeah,
what?
They're still going to win 11 or 12 games.
Yeah.
And they're going to lose in the playoffs because, quite frankly, the quarterback isn't as good as Brock Purdy.
Okay.
Or Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrow or Josh Allen.
All right.
Like they're going to go as far as Dak takes them. And if he's better, if he's better than Jordan Love at a playoff game, then they're going to win that playoff game. And if he's better than Jared Goff, then they're going to win that playoff game. But eventually, they're going to run into a player that he just isn't capable. He's not capable of being better than Patrick Mahomes. Now, on a certain day,
yeah,
sure. But if you were to take your chances, like, you know, Patrick Mahomes is going to be better than him on, you know, 7 out of 10 games.
Not what the number says over the last 60 games.
Well, you've that's seen that, true, you've Bobby, seen that graphic. Yes.
Is that it?
That's it.
All right, there it is. So Choppy is saying a little bit of an overreaction to the Cowboys panic.
That Kool-Aid tastes good, don't it, Chop?
That what?
That Kool-Aid tastes good, don't it, Chop?
There ain't no Kool-Aid. He's just fine with getting in.
She's been dead for a while, Chop.
You know what? Hit the button.
All right, here we go, fellas. Let's have a little fun today.
I wanna punch another 7-year-old.
All right, you get one punch. I thought of this last night, a very sick question in my mind. You get to punch the 7-year-old or Matt Kuchar. You get one punch, and you have to pick.
It's like you're punching a little person.
I want to take care of the 7-year-old.
Wow. All right.
So this 7-year-old golfer sunk a hole-in-one on his first round of his life, right? So I want to punch that kid.
Congratulations.
This is different
Tim.
Than the one. So there was two. There was a 13-year-old. There was a 13-year-old in Oxnard that I wanted to knock out.
Uh-huh.
Because he had two hole-in-ones on the same round. This is a 7-year-old, first round of his life, hitting a hole-in-one. We are talking about a 1 in 15,000 chance. This is not the guy who somehow holed out on back-to-back par fours with a 1 in 36 trillion chance. This is a 7-year-old who hit a hole-in-one in his first ever round.
What was the distance?
111 yards.
Okay.
And I don't care. It could have been 50. Could have been 50. Counts. It counts.
It feels very petty. You've had plenty of hole-in-ones in your life. Like, let some other people have some shine.
Any.
Oh.
Gaylord, Michigan. His hole-in-ones happen in the woods.
They do. And, like, you know, when we go to Michigan, right? So we
play. Next week?
Yes, we go. We leave. So there's a par 3 course there. The 3 tops that we play. If I get a hole-in-one there, doesn't count.
Why?
It's a par 3 course. You got to. They technically don't count that as a hole-in-one.
Okay, so this kid on 100 yards was a par what?
It was a par 3, but it was on a regular golf course. So you're instead of getting 9 chances, you're only getting, you know, 4.
And why would you punch Kuchar?
Because Matt Kuchar did the ultimate hardo jackass move over the weekend, on Monday, really. So they were playing in the Wyndham Championship. And it got, they had some bad rain. Obviously, Hurricane Debbie was out there and causing havoc on the Eastern Seaboard. So they were on the 18th hole. They had somehow managed a way to finish this round. And Kuchar's there, and he decides that he is going to mark his ball in the fairway because of darkness. The rest of his group finished. And he's like, nope. I'm marking my ball because of darkness, and I'm going to come back tomorrow and finish. So he forced they're estimating about 70 people came out there.
Wow.
Workers had to come out there to finish the round for him. From ShotLink guys to ushers to security to the golf course personnel, the maintenance personnel. For him to go out there.
To play?
For one person to take 6 minutes to finish his round. And he finished 12th. And it was a $56,000 difference in purse between that and him finishing. If he didn't finish 12th, I think he would have tied for 21st. So it would have been $56,000. This guy's made $60 million in his career on the course, not to mention all the money from Bridgestone that he has made and other sponsorships. One guy to finish like turned out to be what, three shots? Two shots?
Is he known to be a jerk?
Oh, this is the same guy who won $1.3 million in a tournament and tipped his caddy $5,000.
And what are you supposed to tip?
About 10%. So about $130,000 on that one is when he should have tipped.
Like, so he tipped him short $125K?
Yeah, so it wasn't like, so his caddy, something happened with his caddy during the round, and he just pulled some guy in from the crowd or pulled a worker from the golf course there. And he's like, here, caddy for me this week. And he caddies for him, and he wins, and he gives the guy $5,000 tip instead of, you know, I mean, you don't even have to give him the full 10%. You can give him 5%. The guy gladly would have taken, you know, $55,000 as opposed to $5,000.
You're sitting here complaining about never having a hole in one while also simultaneously arguing that people should be hitting golf balls in the dark. Like, I don't think you're showing yourself to be the golf expert that you've claimed to be. In fact, over on the fan text, the 469 says, these entire stories just prove Bobby right about golf. About how, yeah, he could just step out there and crush the game because 7-year-olds are doing it, Chop.
Fair.
It's true. That's fair. This is terrifying. Did y'all see the video of the Brazil plane that just decided to leaf down, like fall like a feather?
The turboprop.
Holy cow. It was absolutely terrifying that a plane could just fall out of the sky like that. They're saying the initial reports are there was ice that got on the wings, and it just, they didn't have the systems to de-ice in the air, which ice gets on the wings a lot, but this thing just fell out of the sky and everybody passed away. Everybody perished in the crash. But there are stories coming out that there were several people that were in like a restaurant or something adjacent to the gate that missed the plane. And they were trying to get on the plane. There was a bunch of doctors that were trying to get on the plane, cancer doctors. And they like seven of them were denied entry on the plane. And now they're like second lease on life. But that is terrifying, that video. Did you watch this video?
No. I heard about the whole story.
This is what happened to, I know from watching air disasters on our flights every time that we go out to Oxnard and everything else, and people chastise me for watching, you know, airplane accident videos while we're flying. But that's what happened to, there was a flight in Indiana in the 90s that crashed, that it was the same issue. Their de-icing stuff didn't work. Those turboprops, Chop, they're known to ice up pretty easily, those wings.
This thing looks like it was just a rock drops straight down.
Absolutely.
That's it. It just drops straight down.
We're going to go on an airplane here in a couple days. It's terrifying, man. And that wasn't a Boeing, Bobby.
You're not terrified. None of us were terrified.
Terrified.
Flying out from DFW.
Terrified is the wrong word to say.
You're not worried either. You're not nervous.
Because we weren't on a Boeing. That's why we weren't afraid.
How about that? Let's go to the face. Poop masks.
Man, this is repulsive.
Brazilian model started this Instagram kind of hack of donning a fecal mask after reading online that it could prevent aging. So
it's human fecal matter.
She's got over 600,000 followers on Instagram. That is well over a million now. So she flaunts this face mask for the camera, and it's just brown smeared all over her face. And it's turds.
All right,
fair.
So it's
feces.
I'm telling you that a 12 out of 10, all right, your favorite model celebrity crush, you can get with her. You can get with her and date her for a year. She's a 12 out of 10. But she wears and uses a poop mask. Are you doing it? You have to decide.
No.
Mm.
No.
No, I can't shower in the same bathroom that I've gone for 2 hours. I'm not kissing poop mask.
And you're like around her sometimes when she's doing it. Like you're laying in bed at night. It's not that you never see it. Like you move in after 6 months. You're dating. You move in after 6 months. Pay. What are you doing?
I'm doing it. If Sydney Sweeney is having the poop mask on, I'm doing it. Sorry.
Wow. Yeah. Right, couldn't even open up the story and look at this girl with some of this smear. Schmear.
Are you certain she's not just a troll? Like she's claiming this, but she's putting on something that's not.
Very possible. There's no way of knowing. It's the internet. It's like, there's no way of knowing. But
I'm not doing it.
I'm not.
I'm surprised you're not.
Here's the question. You go home, Amanda's got a poop mask on.
Yeah.
How many times does she have to wash her face before you get near her to kiss her?
Oh my gosh, I don't know. A long time. Not once.
My roommate in college said Bud Light tastes like green tomatoes. To this day, I can't even drink a Bud Light because of the
joke you are.
Also, smell.
That's why he doesn't drink.
I've never heard this one time.
Oh, I've told the story many times.
No, you have never.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, you're never challenged my memory,
but I have told it many times to people. He said it tastes like green because I was exclusively a Bud Light drinker in like my freshman sophomore year, and then after that
college experience,
I have not been able to get near a Bud Light.
And every time he drives in the garage in the morning, I hear Kid Rock blaring.
No, you don't. No, you do not. Yeah. So
I don't believe the story, and I'm not calling out you for it because I think it was New York Post or something.
No, it's gone everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah, it's everywhere. Like,
there's no way that someone could put that on without gagging themselves. You can't. You cannot sit there and put that on your face
that's
without gagging
true.
And throwing up yourself. I don't believe it.
It's pretty. I mean, that's I can't even. Like I said, I can't even smell that sometimes without starting to vomit.
Chopping it up every hump day, during the expressway here on 105.3 The Fan.
All right, so this is a little advice for you kids. So do you all have a lemonade stand as a child?
No.
Do you ever do a lemonade stand?
Nope, homeschooled.
Well, you should have had a lemonade stand empire then.
Yeah, really?
No, we were dressed in our Amish attire and stayed indoors all day.
So I had a lemonade sale. You make a couple of bucks, right? It's nothing because you're trying to find people walking by with cash. But people who live like
I love a great lemonade, by the way.
Oh, fantastic.
I don't like making it at home because it's a lot of work squeezing all the lemons. And I'm doing this with iced tea now. Like we have we're on an iced tea run in our house. The amount of sugar that you watch pour into a lemonade, it's not good. It's not good. It's one of those things you want someone else just to hand you in a restaurant. You don't want to see the sugar that goes in to making lemonade or the iced tea the way that we like.
I'll always buy it. If I see somebody with a lemonade stand, I don't even necessarily take it, but I'm always like, if I've got cash, I will always buy
lemonade. But a fresh squeeze, cold, sugary lemonade, I love it. Pepe, are you a fan?
Yeah, I'm all down. If I see it, if I'm driving down the street, I'll go for it every time.
I don't know that I've seen one.
It's been a while, but especially if you take it and you add some sugar in.
They don't have lemonade stands off Jim Miller in East Dallas.
Yeah, there was a kid yesterday with a lemonade stand over across from us.
Did you stop?
Mm-hmm.
So they're saying...
How much are they charging?
It was like 50 cents. I gave him a buck.
Ooh, inflation.
I had a dollar on me, so I just gave it to him.
Okay, so, but you had cash on you. So a lot of people don't carry cash now. So what the kids are doing, they're getting their own QR codes. Or, you know what I mean? So they don't have to pay or anything.
Yeah.
And they are making bank. Well, like I said, when I was a kid, I mean, you're lucky if somebody had cash on you. Nobody has cash. If they don't have cash on them, you're obviously not making a sale. But everybody carries their phone everywhere they go. So these people are telling stories about how their daughter or their son is making 7, 10, 15 grand over a couple of years, over the last year or so, just on lemonade stands because they've got this cashless payment. And the amount of money kids are making nowadays off of not even having actual jobs. There's kids in my son's school, in the high school, making 10, 15, 20 grand a month reselling sneakers. They go to an outlet store, buy sneakers, and then sell them on like StockX for they're finding these sneakers for $60, selling them for $300 on StockX or eBay. And the amount of money these stupid kids are making nowadays, I'm so jealous.
Scalpers. That you're telling me we're raising a generation of scalpers.
Because what the internet's done, it's allowed us to create a market that isn't really there, right? And you're getting fakes. You know, there's no difference. What's the difference? You buy it and then you resell at a higher price. That's a scalper. It's legalized scalping. And it's genius. And why didn't we think of this first?
Oh,
technology?
I mean, yeah,
QR codes.
Technology makes it a lot easier. The QR code, everything. I mean, we did think of lemonade stands. We just didn't have, you know, the infrastructure to make it work the same sort of way.
Chick-fil-A is bringing back their banana pudding milkshake. 15 years they've been without it. It sounds awful to me, but I know people like banana.
Sounds good. Everyone loves banana pudding. It could be. Let me think about this. YouTube, Twitch, fan text about to light up. It could be the unofficial or official dessert of the state of Texas. Correct me with something else.
Banana pudding?
I think banana pudding, I'm labeling it the official dessert of Texas.
Like
I was thinking cobbler.
I was going to say
peach cobbler, yeah.
If you're talking about going into restaurants, banana pudding's up there, but it's also going to be peach cobbler. You're going to see, you'll see pie in some instances, but peach cobbler, banana pudding.
I think it's banana pudding.
Because if you go to a barbecue joint, the skillet most likely cookie. A skillet cookie,
A skillet cookie, that's popular.
Because if you go to a barbecue joint, is it not most, like, they almost always have a cobbler there, right?
To me, it's always banana pudding.
I get banana pudding at every barbecue pudding spot I know of.
Yes. I love those fried pies, though. I would nominate that as the official state dessert of Texas.
Over on the Twitch, EJL Viking, Bold Amoeba, both saying pecan pie. Pecan pie is a really big
Texas. Yeah. Real quick, according to the Farmer's Almanac, get ready. Inches of snow this winter is coming. Winter is coming. They're saying inches of snow is in the forecast.
Give me my Comrex now. This commute from Sunnyvale be not doable,
especially on the back roads. They're not plowed.
That's right. They're not plowed.
You're going to want your Comrex next week because you don't want to melt when you step outside. I saw something yesterday where it's like, 10-day projections are 113 degrees next week in Dallas.
What? 113?
That's what I saw yesterday. Over the course of like the next 10 days.
Chopping it up every single hump day during the expressway on DFW Sports Station. Thank you all for being Tolos. That stands for turn it on, leave it on. Is our general manager really that bad here in the Metroplex? That's next with Sean and RJ.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.